Hi, I'm Greta, a compulsive overeater, and I'm not quite sure of my environment here, but I will continue to speak and you will stay around.
I certainly will.
Thank you. It's still, what I did with this, I bled over it a lot in the sense of I had never done a step 12 before as far as the speaking is concerned. So what I decided to do was to meld my story into what I read in the book that I felt was relevant. I'm going to proceed, never mind what the antics are in the room. Step 12, the principle is service. And I feel passionately about service, and I started service fairly early when I came into program 15 years ago. So I'm going to start off with the how step 12. I'm feeling very awkward here. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of the 12 steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. We had hopefully experienced our spiritual awakening by this time. We have discovered the strength of a power greater than ourselves. We have experienced the miracle of physical, emotional, and spiritual healing. We now have a message of hope to carry to all other compulsive eaters. And I started my story here just, and I hope I succeeded with what I do, but maybe the evaluations could tell me that. I started buying candy from the corner store across the street from the school I was going to. It was the first year in this particular school. I was 9 years old. I stole money from my mother's purse in order to get the candy. So I was about nine. And then 2 years later in my cooking class, the very best cooking class was, I learned how to make candy with white sugar in a cast iron pan. There must have been another ingredient, but I don't remember what it was. So I made this candy in the afternoon when no one was home. My little sister was out there playing, my parents were working, and the only sweet thing we had in the house was a 10-pound bag of sugar. That's how sugar was sold in those days. My family ate very simple food, you know, meat, potatoes, and veg, and there were no snacking foods. None of that was allowed. So the candy was a real bonus because it gave me an outlet, and my mother obviously wasn't counting her change very carefully, or she ignored it because my mother's pretty swift on money. Anyway, whatever it had, I continued making candy. In my teens, my mother was thrilled because I figured out, you know, I guess I was getting kind of bored with this candying I was making, so I wanted to try different things. So I started to bake. My mother was thrilled. Both parents were poor cooks, and my mother didn't bake at all. And so every Sunday I would bake a cake, and everyone would have a piece, and I had the rest of the cake for the as long as it lasted for the week. The next thing that I noticed about me, I went to the dentist, I think somewhere in my mid-teens, and the dentist was absolutely astonished by the amount of cavities I had in my teeth because he knew my mother, and my mother was a health nut, and so he couldn't figure it out. I mean, it took me years and years, even in program, to figure out it was the sugar that had created the cavities in my mouth. But anyway, no one knew the truth at that time, not the dentist, not myself, and had I known, I would certainly not have offered that piece of information. I started working at 17, and a family friend opened a restaurant just half a block from where I was working. And this woman was an incredible cook. And I ate lunch there 5 days a week. I had to negotiate a payoff thing because I couldn't pay her every time. So I swore to her that for my weekly salary, I would pay her first. And she wasn't happy with it, but she accepted it. And I think that was probably the first time when I was 17 or 18 that I was into serious overeating, mainly because the food was so good. And also, it took care of a lot of my comfort needs. My weight gain was fairly slow because I was active physically, and so I certainly look slim in my photos. In my mid-30s, I needed a spinal fusion operation, and the surgeon suggested that I get some weight off. I don't know how much I was overweight. I wasn't weighing myself. I wasn't particularly concerned, so I went to a weigh-in-pay program and I lost 30 pounds. And I recuperated in a year, always well, except I was 30-plus pounds at the end of the year. I never went on a diet because I felt so food deprived. I just couldn't last on a diet. So I guess the next thing that I remember was that in the mid-80s, and let's just see the mid-80s, that was a few decades afterwards, I went to an OA meeting for a few times, but what I heard was the G word used a lot, and I was agnostic, so that didn't go over well. And I thought they were talking in code. I actually thought they were a cult. And so I didn't stay. I lasted a few times. There were a whole lot of old women. I was probably the same age as they were, but they just seemed like old women. And I thought, Nina, this is not the place for me. 15 years later, in 2001, I was over 100 pounds over my goal weight, and I now realized I was desperate. By this time, I was 65, and I know going into old age with 100-plus pounds was no way to have a successful older age. So the first thing I did was in the meeting. What I loved about this particular meeting, it was my home group, and they welcomed me so lovingly and so caring. I had never experienced anything in my life like that. And they told me what to do to get a sponsor, to get a food plan, and definitely to work on the higher power thing. And the only way I could do that was to go down on my knees. And the moment I heard go down on my knees, and I thought that would truly do it, it did take a year. It took a whole year. And one day she whispered in my ear, "Great, I'm right here. I have always been here." And I get, well, you hear tears in my voice because it really, for me, it was so literal. And being a literal person, I could really relate to this experience. It took about a year and a half to 2 years to release 70 pounds. And then I plateaued for at least 3.5-4 years. And I knew I had extra weight on my back. I didn't really want to think about what that could be, but I enlisted the help of a HOW program sponsor. And I met this sponsor. She lived in Victoria. I lived in Vancouver at the time, and I still do. And I liked her. She was about the same age. She's a year younger than I am. And I could relate to her, and she was very gentle. And in, I think it was about 4 weeks, I woke up one morning feeling incredibly brilliant. It was transformative. I gave myself total credit for it. Yeah. Step four didn't have much effect on me except being arduous. And then a few days later, I said, "Greta, what happened 3-4 weeks ago? I thought, oh my God, it's the bread. I finally gave up bread. I released the other 30 pounds in 3 or 4 months. It just dropped off. Well, yeah, they were waiting to go, weren't they? Or waiting for me to pay attention. So I've been at my goal weight for 10 years. And what I want to do is to talk about service, which is what step 12 is about. Service I started in the beginning. In the first year I was in program, I ran the literature table for a year. And then I heard they needed a rep at intergroup, so I went to intergroup. I've been in intergroup ever since. I love the delegate's job. We have 2 delegate appointments, the delegate and the alternate delegate. I started off as the alternate delegate, did 3 years, world service every time. And then in between there was someone else who was a delegate, and she went down for a year. And then I did 3 years as the delegate. And then I became the chair for 4 years. And we're having problems in intergroup that we never had before. We don't have enough people. The only 2 executives are the delegate and the alternate, and the 4 other positions are not filled. They're just not filled. So we're making do. Needless to say, now that I'm on the Region 1 board as of yesterday, and they're doing, what is that called? Intergroup, sorry?
Renewal.
Renewal, of course. Thank you. I have my hearing aids in, but obviously they don't catch everything. So I'm gung-ho. I'm really gung-ho. Back to say, I really believe in the service program, in service, because I feel that it, along with the spirituality, which got covered, and I'm totally committed to. I feel good about food now in a way I had never felt good about food. I'm at my goal weight for some time. And so it's service that really keeps me going. And I would love to hear from you your stories about service. Thank you. Pleasure. So, yes, I'm done pretty quickly.
Okay.
So what worked in the last workshop I was in, if anybody wants to speak, sitting here in this other chair, having the microphone directly at you, we'll get a good recording. So when you're ready.
Yes. So the floor is now open for sharing. Please limit your sharing to the topic of this workshop. Each person will have up to 3 minutes, or thereabouts, 5 minutes, 5 minutes to share. You may share from your seat. Well, would you, if you wouldn't mind, please come up to the microphone to share so that it will be heard on the recording and speak clearly. The floor is open.
Hi, I will start. I am Jen, and I'm from Airdrie, which is just north of the city here.
Hi, Jen. Welcome.
And I'm a compulsive reader, yes. At least I remember to introduce myself. So I am fairly new. I don't know. If I looked, it could actually be my one-year anniversary in the next couple days. So first year in OA. For me, service, there's been times when it has kept me going when I wasn't sure I wanted to. So I have the key for the church a lot of the time. So guess I need to be there, period. So, and yeah, there's times, especially in the first year that I've wondered and I don't want to get off the topic, but sometimes if I get doing too many questions, I start convincing myself maybe I'm not a compulsive overeater, so I've got to watch that. But regardless, having the key helps me get there. Other opportunities for service, I've led meetings, and I've actually been the only one there when a newcomer came, which I would have thought I felt inadequate or not too new to do anything, but when you put in the position, yeah, it's amazing how higher power, how God helps you step up and do what needs done to pass on the message. I'll be honest, I'm still really afraid to say on phone meetings and stuff, put my number out there as someone who can, yeah, I'm willing to kind of help people get started, but really, not ready to sponsor yet, and kind of happy my sponsor said it's okay to just keep working on myself right now. But yet I know that that's something that I think is going to help make the whole package come together, and yeah, I'm interested to hear your guys' experiences too, because I think it's, yeah. And too, if we end up with more time, Greta, if you wanted to talk about your sponsoring, I'd appreciate that. But we can let other people go first. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll respond right now. I don't see anyone jumping up.
Thank you for pointing out I didn't talk about sponsoring. I have sponsored a lot. And what I love about sponsoring is it is a relationship with another person. So no matter how passionately they feel about program or how indecisive they feel about program, it's a pleasure working with them. And to share experiences and also to hear from other people how they're working their program. So I've had... I think every single sponsee has been different from the other, and it really has reinforced my program a lot. So I appreciate the question. So if there's anybody else who has more questions that I didn't cover, I would really like to hear you say that. Thank you.
Always share. I'm Lori, and I'm a compulsive eater. I'm from Billings, Montana. Hi. I just love this this program. I'm so grateful. Grateful for all of my fellows, for everybody that gives service. Looking forward to the intergroup renewal, and super excited about that and about lighting some fires underneath my fellows in Billings. Service is very, very key for me, too. It keeps me going when I don't want to go. And I know it seems to be all the times that I sign up to lead and open meetings are the days that I really needed, that I almost maybe wouldn't have gone if I didn't have that commitment. And I need to go to at least one meeting a week. And when I'm struggling with work or family, or I don't struggle with food anymore, but it's just living life on life's terms. I go to two or three meetings, and that's where I find my strength. And I do sponsor, and I don't know if that's my cup of tea. you know, I love to be helpful and all that stuff, but I just haven't had good experience with sponsoring, and but I'm very grateful for the people who have sponsored me, and I know I have to give it back to keep it. I understand that concept. It's just always, I should probably be at the sponsorship workshop. what else could I impart or share about service? It's just... You know, I think we get a big shot in the arm of recovery when we go to retreats and conventions and assembly. And I absolutely love to bring that back and share it with all of my fellows. I take really good notes, and I share them at the meetings. I email them to everybody, organize them. And I'm the secretary for our intergroup, and so I share all those notes. I love sharing. I'm a good communicator. I think that's about all I have. But service is really key for this program. I think that we all need to get involved. Not one person in one area can't do and be everything. So I think it's really important to share the load.
Yep. Thanks, Lori.
I'm Alice, compulsive eater, anorexic, and bulimic.
Hi, Alice.
And service in this program has literally saved my life. I was told, come to a meeting early and help set up. because when I first started, I would come in late and leave before it was over. So I like didn't have to talk to anybody, didn't have to see anybody. Just, it was all I could do to sit still in my chair. And so what I learned in program is that when I'm asked to serve, there's a need to be filled and I need to fill it. When I started. Then, so I've been a key person, I've been a treasury person, I've been a leader. It's what I needed to do to want to keep coming back. So at first service gave me a responsibility because I could let myself down all day, but I could not bear to let anyone else down. So service got me to into the program until I wanted to come to the program. And then what I found was I almost traded my food for service. So like I was like, all I was doing was service and I wasn't doing life anywhere else. And so I had to learn to say no and trust that my higher power has that job for somebody else, or that someone else's higher power is waiting for them to step up and give other people an opportunity to grow in their program, in their recovery, and to not only do that, but to encourage other people like I was encouraged, that we all have special gifts to offer this program. And we learn how to do them in the safe little cocoon of OA most of the time, because sometimes we work with other people who also are working on their stuff. So we help each other in the safe little environment so that we can then take it out to the world and help other people learn a different way of living. I never thought having this disease would be a gift, but I see my higher power helping me spread the way of life outside of OA, that there are people that I work with who appreciate the way that I approach problems and work through problems and want to know how I learned how to do that. And I've only recently been able to reveal to a couple of people how, I mean, that was OA that did it for me. Because one thing program has taught me is to recognize unhealthy situations and not to necessarily run from them, but to help them heal. And I learned this in this program. I learned that in this program. Because before that, I would just run. If I couldn't handle it, I would. When I was really in recovery, my absence was the most important thing, and it is still today, but anything that threatened or that I perceived threatened my abstinence, I ran. And so I kind of lived my life within OA, and that was it. Okay. So another part of this step is practice these principles in all my affairs, and that's what got me to take the program outside, to walk through my day in as if I was in program instead of only practicing it when I was doing service or inside of a meeting or talking to my fellow OAers. That what the skills of life that I was learning in program need to be spread throughout outside of program too. So I think that's all I have. Thanks.
Thank you, Alice.
I appreciate, this is Greta, compulsive eater. I appreciate that the people who have spoken before reminded me of things that I hadn't said. And I agree about service that, almost lost this thought right now, that living as a compulsive eater, being abstinent and being of service has changed my personality in huge ways. When I came into program, I don't even want to tell you what I was like, but it was not particularly helpful to the rest of the population. It was only being in program that I really got, if you worked all the principles, you were being of service to others. That took a long time,
But, you know, I'm in program for the rest of my life. I'm totally committed to OA. And thank you, both all the speakers who have spoken have made me understand that there was some points I've missed. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Lorraine from Calgary, and I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater.
Hi, Lorraine.
I just want to thank you very much for what you've shared and your peace and serenity that you exude, which is absolutely wonderful and terrific to see and to experience. And thanks for what everybody has shared. I know I'm I left some notes over there, but. What somehow, for some reason, it called to me to talk about this step 12, this the spiritual awakening, and you know the slow brew, I guess, was me, and I know that God works in my life, and makes. There are moments. There are times. Sometimes it's moments, and sometimes it's days or months, and sometimes it's years before I know why something happened. And, you know, I was taught that the whys are unimportant, and that we just have to keep looking up to God and just keep with our faith. Examples in my life, I've been in program for a lot of years. I came in 1977, somewhere around, I was married in 85. I got a lot of wonderful things that came from this program, and it turned out, and I'd been a child care worker, and I really wanted a child. I wasn't even sure I wanted to be married, but I knew I wanted a baby. Turned out that I had some difficulties, and I wasn't going to be able to have a child. Give birth. That was so devastating, and I remember praying to God all the time, and I had to walk through about 7 years worth of every day of still having my faith with God, even though I felt like how could you do this to me? But that was the first reaction, and then after that it was, I'm just going to keep looking up to you. And it was so hard. I would go to where my religious place of prayer, and I would pray, and I would, you know, and it hurt because I really, truly, this was my heart's desire. And I, you know, this faith thing, you know, like just don't eat about shit and keep looking up to God. In the program, we ended up moving and doing all kinds of things. And at one point, someone said, you know, at one point I made a decision that I might try in vitro. And that was kind of a tough go and had a try. And, you know, and then when it didn't work, that was really hard. And then met somebody in OA who I was talking to about this. And moved around to different communities. The shorter version of this story is that because of having met that one person, I ended up connecting with somebody else, because somebody who was related to her, who then was at the point of giving up a baby. She was pregnant and she wanted to find a family, and my baby came to me through this program. It is one of the greatest miracles. It is the greatest miracle of my life. 7 years, and she's 23, and we just had a family reunion of her family. I would say it was my side of the family, my husband's side of the family, and my daughter's side of the family, because we have an open adoption. And 23 years later, they adopted me because I am part of the family reunion, not just her. And these miracles that come through this program just blow me away. And just, you know, the faith, right? And so I'm talking about spiritual awakening as the result of the steps. And that gives me that sense that whatever I'm going through, it may take 3 years, it may take 7 years, it may take however God has, but we work it through. And as long as I just don't forget to keep my head up and looking up toward God and do my best to practice these principles in every aspect of my life, and I need to even hear that message myself today as much as say it. So thanks for listening.
Thanks for your sharing.
This is Greta, a compulsive eater. And I guess what I wanted to share from listening to the previous speaker is I not only got a God of my understanding, what I got was the ability to hear what the messages are. And the messages were non-existent in the beginning, and then they were very, very faint later on. And now I am beginning to have thoughts that I know came from elsewhere, because that was not my thinking. And there's so many places that I find joy in the program. And peace and serenity was definitely not part of my life before program. And I'm grateful to say that it's my life right now. I even listen a little better than I did. Thank you.
So, I'm just going to read, just starting. So again, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and practice these principles in all our affairs. Step 12 begins with the acknowledgement of a great truth. We, who have worked the first 11 steps of Overeaters Anonymous program, have had a spiritual awakening, and now we have a message of hope to carry to other compulsive overeaters. We who once suffered from complete powerlessness to control our eating in our lives have now discovered the saving strength of a power greater than ourselves. We have experienced the miracle of physical, emotional, and spiritual healing, just as we were promised when we began these steps. For most of us, the central factor in this spiritual awakening has been our decision to trust a higher power with every aspect of our lives. In acting on that decision one day at a time, we learned a whole new set of skills for living, skills which enable us to clear from our lives everything which might interfere with our trust in this higher power. I'm going to say that again. In acting on that decision one day at a time, we have learned a whole new set of skills for living, skills which enable us to clear from our lives everything which might interfere with our trust in this higher power. Now we know we don't have to fear anything that comes to us. Even when things happen to us which we don't like, we have a way of facing each situation squarely and sanely. We have seen that higher power will reveal something of value to us with every experience, as long as we continue practicing this new way of life.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
If anybody else wants to read from the book, I'd be thrilled.
That'd be okay?
Yeah, whatever.
Okay. Hi, my name is Lorraine. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'd have been only in OA for since February. So I was interesting to hear about the service and carrying the message out. And I realized that I thought for some reason, because I used to be involved in a lot of different things, that I should be this perfect person in order to and have my life all together before doing service, because I don't want to be a hypocrite. And but I realized you don't, because actually by doing service, it helps you to be a better person by doing it, because then you're not thinking about yourself, you're thinking about other people. And I just and I often wondered, like, because people are asking me, like, oh, I notice you're losing weight, or they're asking me different things, and they're noticing a difference in my life, the way I handle things, and I don't know what to say to them, because I'm kind of embarrassed to tell them that I'm in a way, because I don't want them to make fun of me, or they just don't, most of them I know that wouldn't really understand, and they just think, okay, and this is something else that she'll just fail at, because I've tried other things, and they see me going up and down, so I've been very nervous about that, but I thought this was interesting, carrying the message. So I don't know if I should read the do's and the don'ts. I'll read both. Okay. Carrying the message, do's. I'm open to talking about my recovery. I mention how much my weight has changed, and I may show my pre-OA photo. I'm positive and happy when talking about OA. I'm always willing to give out the new prospect card and my phone number. I emphasize the peace of mind I have found in life around food. I suggest that people come to a meeting and just listen. Nothing is required of them. I mention OA to my doctor and all other health care professionals. I carry the message as part of my action plan. I am concise when talking about OA program, leaving room for curiosity. I explain the concept of Just for Today. I mention that OA is a nonprofit organization and there are no membership dues or fees. I share how OA has helped in all facets of my life. I explain some of the program tools. I give examples of my unhealthy eating behaviors from before OA, such as external, eternal, dieting, starving, binging, constantly weighing myself. I say that our program is a model on Alcohol Anonymous and that my problem is similar to alcoholism. OA is for people who use food just like alcoholics use alcohol. I offer to meet them at their first meeting if at all possible, and the don'ts. Don't tell people that OA is the only way. I try not to sound like a preacher or give a speech. I don't judge other people, and I don't label them as compulsive overeaters. I don't talk about another shape or weight, only my own. I do not mention specific spiritual or religious beliefs. I don't speak about OA to someone new unless he or she shows an interest. I don't try to sell the 12-step program or exaggerate about it, and I don't promise anything. I don't put down diets or methods of weight loss. I don't compare OA to other programs. I don't give too much information about meetings and how it all works. The best way to understand is to come to a meeting. I don't give unsolicited advice or suggestions, and I don't rush people into making a decision, and I don't argue. I don't shut the door. Even if someone is not interested now, he or she may be interested in the future. I don't try to give away what I don't have. So I thought that was really, really good advice. I guess I'll read this part too. So why carry the message? Service is its own reward. When I give service, I receive more than I could ever give. I don't have to wait until I'm perfect. Just what I said. Perfect to do a service. Service gives me practice as freeing myself from the bondage of self. Only by working with those who are not yet free from the disease do I fully understand that freedom. We now have a message of hope to carry to other compulsive overeaters. So that was a really good little pamphlet. It's called Carrying the Message. So thank you for listening.
Thanks, Lorraine.
I'm Lori, and I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Lori.
And this is that little pamphlet before you take that first compulsive bite. And it's helpful for me. Let's see, that's so much. What should I read? How about if I read you the things I like the best? So, number 11, remember that each abstinent day brings with it honesty, integrity, and accountability. Each abstinent day is a gift worth giving, worth going to any length to experience. And a decision to be abstinent today will enable you to overcome fears of not getting enough food, attention, or love. I like that. And then number 13, cultivate gratitude that refraining from one small bite can dramatically change your outlook on life. You are no longer alone. You have found OA and a fellowship of people who truly understand and want to help you. You have an illness, not a moral shortcoming, and your disease can be arrested one day at a time simply by not taking that first compulsive bite. Abstaining from compulsive overeating can help reverse the devastating effects of this disease on mind, body, and spirit. And you no longer need to use food for comfort. In time, you will learn to accept life on life's terms without the need to chase food for pleasure. So I don't know if you guys have visited this one recently, but here's another good one. Number 8, don't believe the lie that food will make a bad situation better or easier to live with. Compulsively over or under eating your way through a bad situation only creates more problems. Remaining abstinent helps you think clearly and remain in the solution. That's kind of been my motto lately, is stay in the solution. It's my defect to go, back to the disease and how big it is and how confusing it is and how overwhelming it is. And so if I stay in the solution, there's hope, there's tools, there's reaching out to you guys is what's really helped me a lot too. So,
thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Alice again, anorexic bulimic. I wanted to share a little more about sponsorship. Working with other compulsive overeaters, especially anorexic and bulimic, but anyone who's ready to go to any lengths to recover really is what helps me grow my own recovery. It reminds me where I came from, because from time to time I start to think that I can pull away from program more and more, and that it's ingrained in me now and I really don't need to be using the tools anymore, and I can, you know, skip a meeting and I'll be fine. And those actions are what lead to the food thoughts getting louder and louder in my head. What keeps me in spiritual fit condition and keeps my disease and my behaviors at bay are being involved in program and coming to meetings and working with sponsees and taking them through the steps. And it's so, it fills my heart when I am able to take someone who is terrified and knows they can't keep going the way they're going, but they have no idea what to do next, and help them find their path on recovery and show them that there is another way and that they can do it. And, you know, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. What matters is that you're taking one step forward every day, and that making small changes lead to a new life, and trying to remind them that it's between them and their higher power, and that I am there kind of has a sounding board, you know, like it's like, what should I do about this? Well, what do you think you should do? And what does your higher power tell you? Oh, I didn't pray yet. And I find God gets louder in my head when I write about a problem, to write what obstacle I see. And a lot of times what's revealed to me is that this is not an obstacle. This is the challenge that's going to help me learn a new skill or become the better person to find where God wants me to go. And helping someone else through that journey enhances my recovery, because more times than not, the issue they're facing is the issue that I'm about to face, or the issue that I've been struggling with and can't find the answer, and we can solve it together. And I really find the way I was brought up, you take steps 6 and 7 and you're ready to sponsor, because you've identified your character defects and you're working with your higher power, and through action, to release those. And the reason I was told when I was brought up is because nothing brings out your character defects more than working with another person. And so you're helping each other. And then there's other people that say if you are one step ahead of someone else, you can sponsor that person. And that, knowing that they're coming to the next step, keeps you moving in your program. So it's, again, the sponsorship is how it works for you. And I would just encourage anyone who's thinking of sponsoring that the fact you're thinking about it means your higher power is trying to help you accept that you are ready, and that when the right person walks in the door, you'll find each other, and hopefully you'll have the courage to take the step and become a sponsor. Thanks.
Thank you, Alice. Are there any suggestions on how you would like to see this workshop end? Something that you can take home from yourself, for yourself. If there was anything you heard in this room or anything that came into mind, I think that would be a wonderful way to end the workshop. And hopefully, one or two of you will respond. That's right, you first, absolutely.
It's Jen, and in response to Greta, what I'm going to, as people were speaking, I remember this also, I do a daily check-in and services on there, and some days my service is just staying abstinent so that I can be help to others, and working my program really is also a way of being service. And I'm going to continue to remember that, as well as remembering that sponsoring, just like a lot of things, it can give back as much as you give out. Mm-hmm. So it can be a time gaining thing, even though you're giving away time. So that's what I'm taking away from this. And it was lovely. Thank you.
Thank you, Jen.
Yep.
I agree. Be using the third step prayer.
Right.
Let's go.
Okay.
God,
I offer myself to thee, to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help, of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always.
Keep coming back. It works. If you work it, and you're worth it.
Thank you, everyone. Your shares were brilliant. Yes, if everyone would fill out it's very